This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
The clock strikes 3:33 a.m., the witching hour, when shadows seem to move of their own accord, when the line between reality and nightmare becomes impossibly thin. And for one college student, that hour would become a waking nightmare that would never leave their mind. But was it a mere dream? Or did something far darker reach into their life that night? What of the terrifying thoughts that cross your mind, those passing jokes about selling your soul or summoning demons, weren't as harmless as they seemed? What if just once as curiosity opens a door you cannot close, drawing something into your world that you cannot escape? For one freshman at a northern college, it all began in the library, on a freezing winter night when a joke led to something far worse than they could ever have imagined. Shadows lingered, but this time they weren't the ones hiding. As the protagonist recounts, the horrors they faced weren't only in their mind, they were real. Too real. And as the night unfolded, the veil between the living and something else grew ever thinner. What happened that fateful night in that cold, silent library? "Let's get to the letter," they write. "For starters, I'm now 21 years old, but my story is from 3 years back when I was 18. I've told bits and pieces to a few people here and there, but I've always held back the full story, fearing that no one would believe me. I've always had a firm belief in my religion. I follow Hinduism, but I never really thought much about the supernatural outside of the spirits that some people talk about. Ghosts? Sure, I'd heard about them, but I thought they were just stories, things that other people got scared about. But that night in the library changed everything for me. I was a freshman in college, and I felt like I was on top of the world. The excitement of being away from home and living on my own in a big city was enough to keep me awake for hours most nights. I was a night owl by nature, so I'd usually study late into the night. My schedule wasn't normal. I'd start my work around 8 or 9 p.m., then keep going until 2 or 3 a.m., especially with midterms coming up. February was the worst month for me. The bitter cold made the walk to my dorm unbearable, so I spent hours in the library studying at a desk, or when I felt I needed to rest, I'd pull two couches together and sleep there, as it was too far to go back to the dorm just to get a few hours of sleep. That night, my girlfriend was sitting across from me, her books spread out all over the desk. We had biology coming up first, and both of us were drowning in preparation. Around midnight, I started getting frustrated. I'd been studying for hours, and the material wasn't sinking in. I made a joke to her about how it might just be easier to sell my soul to the devil than try to study all this stuff. We laughed, but there was something in the way I said it. It was like a part of me was curious about the idea. Not that I actually believed in it, but you know, I had seen movies like The Devil's Advocate and other stuff. It just seemed like something other people got wrapped up in, but not me. Not seriously. I took a study break around 1 a.m., and that's when I stumbled on something I never expected to find. I was idly searching on the internet, and I came across a book, one that I later learned was fairly common. It had the title, though I prefer to leave it unnamed to avoid encouraging anyone to follow in my footsteps. The book was about rituals, chants, and the process to summon demons or spirits. I should have dismissed it right away, but there was something about it that caught my attention. I thought it was ridiculous, so I opened it out of sheer morbid curiosity, more to laugh at the absurdity than anything else. The rituals and chants it described were over the top, totally nonsensical. One of them was supposed to bring a demon before you if you said the words right. I figured that I'd read a little, maybe laugh some more, and then get back to studying. But as I read through it, I started feeling uncomfortable. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and I realized I was wasting time I didn't have. I snapped the book shut and tried to refocus, pushing the strange feeling aside. Maybe it was just fatigue. After all, it was already 3 a.m. I decided to nap like I always did when it was too cold to walk back to my dorm. I asked my girlfriend to wake me up in 3 hours at 6 a.m., and she said she would. She had decided to stay up and keep studying, helped along by coffee. I closed my eyes and tried to fall asleep on the couch, but what happened next wasn't normal sleep. It was something different. The dream, or whatever it was, came on quickly. I was standing outside the library, but everything felt different. The air was heavy, thick with tension. I could see the library in front of me, but there was something wrong about the entire scene. The lights flickered and the shadows stretched unnaturally, like they were reaching for me. Then I saw it, a dark shape in the distance. It was impossible to make out at first, but the more I looked, the clearer it became. There were three figures standing just outside the reach of the building's light. I felt an immediate sense of dread, like something was pulling me toward them, as if I had no choice but to approach. Every instinct screamed at me to turn and run, but I was frozen, like I was being drawn in by some invisible force. The figures started to move toward me, and the closer I got, the more terrifying they became. They were human, but not quite. Their features were blurred, like they were not entirely solid, like they didn't belong in this world. Two of them were men, tall, broad-shouldered, with faces hidden in the shadows. The third was a woman, tall and imposing, but there was something about her that made my heart race in terror. Then one of the men spoke, his voice deep, almost too deep for a human to have. "Do you desire power?" he asked. I couldn't answer. My mouth felt dry and my body refused to move. I just stood there, paralyzed by fear. The woman laughed and the sound, oh God, the sound, it was bone-chilling, like a mix of malice and amusement. It made my insides twist. "See what it can entail," she said, gesturing toward the library behind me. I turned around slowly, almost against my will. As I did, a piercing sound filled the air, like a fire alarm blaring to life. The noise was deafening. I tried to cover my ears, but it was no use. The lights in the library flickered once, then went out completely, plunging the entire building into darkness. The chill in the air grew colder, and I felt a deep, paralyzing fear spread throughout my body. I don't remember how, but I started running. I ran away from the figures, from whatever was happening, not caring where I went, just as long as it was away from them. But their laughter, God, it followed me. It echoed around me, getting louder as I fled. And then my girlfriend shook me awake. I sat up, gasping for breath. I was disoriented, my heart pounding in my chest. She was sitting there, looking at me with wide, concerned eyes. "You were screaming," she said softly. "You were screaming in your sleep, and I couldn't wake you up." I glanced at the clock. 3:33 a.m., the exact time from the dream. I blinked in confusion, trying to shake off the remnants of the nightmare. My mind was racing. How could this be real? How could everything match up so perfectly? But before I had time to process it, I heard it. The fire alarm. It blared to life, the same sound from my dream, piercing through the stillness of the library. My stomach dropped. I could feel the dread settling back in, heavy and oppressive. "This can't be happening," I muttered. But it was. My girlfriend and I jumped up, and without thinking, we ran down the stairs. I was shaking uncontrollably, but I couldn't stop myself. When we reached the ground floor, we were joined by a few other students who had started to file out of the library. The lights went out just like in my dream, and it felt as though I was in some kind of twisted echo of what had just happened. The chaos outside the library only lasted for a few minutes before the lights flickered back on. But I was still trembling. My mind was racing. Was I still dreaming? We went back inside, and everything seemed normal again. People were going back to their desks, murmuring about the false alarm. I tried to calm myself down, telling myself that it was just a coincidence. But when I sat back down at my desk, I froze. My laptop was still open, the screen glowing softly in front of me. I could see my instant messenger window open, but something was off. The word "document," which I hadn't opened or touched, was on the screen. It was titled, "The Offer Remains." My hands shook as I stared at it. My girlfriend hadn't touched my computer. No one had. But there it was, as clear as day. I never went near that book again. I never touched it or even thought about it until now. That night has stayed with me, haunting my every thought. And while I haven't had any paranormal experiences since that night, I know something was there with me. Something that reached out when I wasn't expecting it. I don't know if it was a demon or some kind of entity, but whatever it was, it felt too real to ignore. I don't think I'll ever understand what happened that night. As we listen to this unsettling account, one thing becomes clear. The line between the rational and the supernatural is far thinner than most of us are willing to admit. Our minds, ever so capable of convincing us of what we want to believe, sometimes fail to explain the unexplainable. The protagonist, a skeptic at heart, was thrown into a world that didn't follow the rules of reason or science. And what's chilling is not just the events that unfolded, but how they seemed to bend reality itself. We all have our limits, the things we believe or dismiss as fantasy. But this young college student's experience forces us to question, what if there are forces out there that we simply don't understand? What if the stories we laugh at or dismiss as urban legend are more than just that? The eerie synchronicity between the dream and the real-life events, the fire alarm, the darkness, the disturbing message on the laptop, becomes a chilling reminder that we might not be as alone as we think. Psychologically, it's possible to rationalize a lot of this away. Sleep paralysis could explain the vivid, dreamlike experience outside the library. Anxiety, exhaustion, and stress could have caused the mind to blur the line between what's real and what's imagined. But the presence of that message on the laptop, something no one could have physically touched in the interim, casts a shadow of doubt. Could it have been a coincidence, or was it something that reached beyond the protagonist's mind? But then, let's entertain the possibility of the paranormal. What if the book, in its curious nature, did more than just lure a tired mind? What if it unlocked something? The figures described in the dream were not just figments of imagination. They were detailed, distinct, and spoke with a purpose, pulling the protagonist deeper into their world. Could these entities have known about the protagonist's thoughts, his joking mention of selling his soul, or was this just an elaborate coincidence? There's a darkness lurking around the edges of the story, unanswered questions that gnaw at us. The presence of something beyond our comprehension, something watching, waiting. This story doesn't offer closure. And perhaps that's the scariest part of it all. Because when we can't explain what's happened to us, we're left with the possibility that something somewhere might still be out there, waiting for us to make the next move. Some questions are best left unanswered. The offer, as it turns out, may never truly be gone. That's all for tonight. Let the shadows linger a little longer. And always remember, what happens when the door you open isn't one you can close?
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.